Matthew chapter 2. We're going to go in a couple different places. Keep your Bibles open this morning. We're going to go to a couple different places in the Word of the Lord. I feel like Matthew chapter 2, Jacob, you got that? Because mine, it's kind of torn there. I don't think I can read it. Matthew 2, verse 1. Let's see. Yeah, I can get part of it. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. I want you to notice verse 2. Saying, where is he that is born? Everybody say born. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? Wow. Keep that in mind. For we have seen his star. Everybody say his star. We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king, Herod, remember that, Herod the king. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet Micah, and thou Bethlehem, it's in Micah 5:2, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah. Bethlehem is the house of bread. He is the bread of life. Amen. For out of these shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. I have written right in my Bible in the margin, a lie. Amen. It's been written there for several years. That was a lie. He had no intentions of worshiping Jesus. What'd you say? Lar. Ernie said lar. Verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Wow. Verse 11. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. He was there with Mary. Now, it's important for you to know that at this particular time, Christ was now above the age of 2. Amen? You know, I don't want to mess up your Christmas nativity scene, and it's okay if you put out wise men. You know, it's not a problem, but they weren't there the night he was born. Amen? It's important for you to know that. When they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down, and who did they worship? They worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Let me just say this. When you see the king... And a great selection of songs this morning. It's right in tune with the word I'm going to preach to you. But when you see the king, you're going to go back another way. I said, when you see the king, we'll talk about that more, but when you see the king, you're going to be changed, and you're going to go back another way. When you really get a glimpse of the king and who the king is, you are going to go back another way. Because it's going to change you. It's going to change who you are. It's going to cause you to see your circumstances different. Amen. But I want to preach to you this morning. I was trying to decide on a title to give this message, and I could call it "Who Is Your King?" But really, what I settled on is there can be no kingdom without a king. Amen. I said there can be no kingdom without a king. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence that is in this room. And Father, we just speak blessings right now upon your word, that as it goes out, God, that it would touch lives and it would change us. And we would leave here differently. We would leave here different than we were when we came in, Lord. We thank you for it. And we praise you for it. It's in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Now, obviously, this is a story that one of the stories we often use at Christmas time. We are two services away. We have one more service next Sunday, and then Greg, did you announce the 22nd? That's 2 weeks from today. We'll have a morning service. But we're also having a candlelight service that night at 6 o'clock. So we're very close. There's not many more services here. About two or three more services before we celebrate Christmas. Amen. But really, I got to be honest with you. I'm being totally honest with you. This is not why I'm preaching this message. You know, it's, well, Pastor just pulled out a Christmas message. Actually, I've never preached this before, and this is just what the Lord led me to, and I settled on this particular text. But I want to tell you something. I mean, we're living in a time where a lot of people are talking about the kingdom. And I'm one myself. I talk a lot about the kingdom. We are to function as kingdom people. Amen. We are to function according to kingdom principles. We want to see things happen according to kingdom principles, Ernie, according to the principles of the Word of God. But can I tell you, and I'm going to say it again, and you'll probably hear me say it several times, there can be no kingdom. There can be no kingdom principles. We cannot change the culture, amen, without a king. Amen. And the king has to be at the forefront before we can function in the kingdom as kingdom-minded people according to kingdom principles. I don't know if y'all are getting that or not. That's a lot of stuff. I'm saying a mouthful there. But the king has to be in place. And a lot of people, oh, glory, y'all got to help me preach now. There's a lot of things going on today that people are trying to dethrone the king. Oh, glory. People are trying to take the king down off of his throne. And I'm going to tell you something. We know, man, I just felt something just move in right then. We know that that's happening out in the world system, in the world's culture. That's happening in different circles, Justin, to where people are trying to remove the king from his place of prominence. They're even trying, and I'm going to get ahead of myself here. They're even trying to just label him with other kings and say, well, they're all one and the same. Amen. But you know, churches, and it's even came into our churches to where now we have people trying to put different religions together and different belief systems together. We have people saying that we as Christians should just join Islam and call it Chrislam. I'm telling you, there is no room for that in the kingdom of God. There's no room for that in the body of Christ. There is only one king, and there's only one that's in the place of prominence, and his name is Jesus Christ. I said his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, it's interesting. Put it back up, Jake, if you will, please. Verse 1, it's interesting that he was born, and it's interesting that the scripture mentions he was born in the days of King Herod. Amen. Now, you know, Herod, Randy, he was a king that was elevating himself. Oh, glory. Oh, God's got to help me preach this word. Man, this is something that you really need to hear. There are people in the world today, there are people in ministries today that are trying to elevate themselves. Oh, there are people that are operating under the same spirit that controlled King Herod. And their desire is not to worship the true king. Their desire is to build themselves up. I'm just going to preach you the truth. Amen. There's people out there that there's people out there in politics, and there's people in government. There's people, amen. And I know this is being recorded, but I'm just going to preach the truth. There's people in government. There's people in politics. There's people in ministries that their one desire, their selfish ambition is to put themselves up on a pedestal and just to promote their own self and their own ministry, their own agenda. But I'm going to tell you something. If it don't point back to Jesus Christ as the true foundation, and then it's going to crumble in the end. If it's not built up on the rock. I don't care what you label it. If it's not built upon the rock of Jesus, it's going to fall. Amen. It's not going to advance. I said, it's not going to advance. Somebody needs to give him praise this morning, because he is the king. He's the king of kings. Hallelujah. There came wise men from the east of Jerusalem saying, where is he that is born? Say it again. Say born. Come on, say it one more time. Say born. You know, and we live in different cultures. Because people are different. You know, I read one church, an inner city church. You know, we're so sheltered here in the mountains of eastern Kentucky. And I hear one inner city church where this guy visited the church, and they had this special speaker coming, and it was, the church was in an arena, and just that he actually saw someone come in off the street and snort a line of coke in the church. Different places. Are you saying that's okay, Pastor? Absolutely not. But you see, people, everybody's not been raised the way we've been raised. Come on now. Get that spirit of religion out and let it go out the door. But the guy said he liked everything about this church, Tammy, except one thing. He wrote a great article about this church. It was an exciting church, and you could tell that they were reaching out to these people, and neither were they condoning this type of activity. It's just some people came in, they came to hear this guy speak, and they'd read his books, and they thought it was okay to do these things in this type of setting. But he said he liked everything about the church. But the only thing he didn't like about the church was that they preached that Jesus was the only way to get to the Father. And he said, when they came to that, I shut them down. But you see, here's the thing, folks. You got to see that the scripture says that Jesus is the one who was born King of the Jews. He is born King of the Jews. Now, if we choose to put him on a pedestal and worship him as king, he's going to be our king. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. Whether you choose to worship him or not, whether you choose or the world choose to accept him or not, I got a newsflash for you. He was born King of the Jews. He is King of the Jews. He was King of the Jews. He will always be the king. And he is going to rise. He's going to come back. He's going to prove who he is. He's going to give a shout. Amen. He's going to come back and prove who he is. Amen. In the clouds of glory. And it's going to be settled. I said, it's going to be settled. I'm trying to get to my message here. Y'all got to help me. Somebody say, help him, Lord. Now, we can't have a kingdom without a king. Amen? Are you with me? You know, a lot of people want to have the social stuff of the kingdom. Let's have the things of the kingdom, but they leave out the king. Now, I'm tired of the kingdom without a king. Amen. There's no kingdom where there's no king. Oh, come on. Did y'all hear that? Well, say it again. There's no kingdom where there's no king. I don't care how many kingdom books you write. Or I don't care how many kingdom sermons you preach. I've preached a few myself. The essence of the kingdom is the presence of the king. Oh, I'm going to say that again. The essence of the kingdom is the presence of the king. The thing that makes his dominion available is that his presence is available. Oh, did you hear that? What makes his dominion available is the fact that his presence would be made available. When we allow his presence to be available, such as we did this morning, and then we can operate in his dominion. Oh, I don't know if y'all are getting. You got to get that. You should be excited about that, because then you can operate in the dominion and the principles of God. Amen. And we've tried at times to release His dominion without being willing to seek His face. Oh, y'all love me? Seekers. The Bible says that the kingdom of heaven is like a woman who had lost a coin and started moving everything around to find what she had lost. Amen? So if we really want the kingdom to be functioning, if we really want kingdom principles, if we want to operate in kingdom dominion, then we need to start seeking the king. We need the king. We need the presence of the king to show up, amen, in order for us to operate according to kingdom principles. I'm just going to tell you right now, and y'all got to help me preach, but we're never going to see the culture change unless the king shows up. Amen. The drug addiction's not going to change unless the king shows up. Oh, come on. I'm just going to have to preach a little bit. You can build all, and I'm not against self-help groups. I'm not against therapy, Justin. I'm not against these houses and stuff. They do a lot of good works, you know, and they help a lot of people. But I'm going to tell you what. You can exhaust all your monies, and you can build every kind of building and self-help there is to be built throughout the entire county. But if the king don't show up and you don't have the presence of the king, nobody's going to be set free. Because you see, these are spirits that are controlling people, and we're not operating in kingdom principles, and we're not going against these spirits that are controlling people's lives. Amen. And we got to have the presence of the king to show up, and then we take authority over drug addiction. Then we take authority over principalities and powers and all these things that come in to try to wreck our community. Is anybody seeing this? You know, we can exhaust all efforts, but it all changes when the king shows up. When the king showed up, it changed everything. People showed up to worship him. Kings came. They said, "We've seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him." They came into the place where him and his mother was, amen, and they fell down and worshiped him right from the beginning. Here's a baby, 2 years old. He's already the king. Randy's already king, and they're falling down at that point to worship him. That's what makes the difference. That's what's going to change society, is when people recognize that he is the king, and we begin to treat him as such, and we begin to seek his face, and then all of a sudden we'll start seeing kingdom principles happen. Amen. If you believe that's the truth, say amen. So I'm tired of the kingdom without the king. Our culture wants the mark of his kingdom, but so often they don't want to see the king. They don't want the king. Oh, they want the culture of the kingdom, but they don't want the king. Are you seeing that? You know, they want all those things. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. We can do everything we can do. Thank God for what God has blessed us with. But you know, it's not even, regardless of what kind of music we have or what kind of singing we have, it don't matter how big a sanctuary you build, if it's 100 people or 30,000 people, if there's no presence of the king, and people are pushing him out everywhere. I mean, they're pushing out the cross of Jesus Christ. They're pushing out anything to do with the blood. Don't talk about anything that's offensive. You will offend people. I'm going to tell you something. The cross is offensive, and it will offend people because it reminds them, it convicts them of their sins. Amen. When people see the cross, they see who they are in respect to who he is. Amen. And we got to have Jesus. I said, we got to have Jesus. I said, we got to have Jesus. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through and by me." He's the only way. Somebody say, he's the only way. How many remembers in Isaiah chapter 6? The Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, King, amen, King Uzziah died. Now you got to see this. God's going to speak to us through his word this morning if you'll let him. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord, and he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." It's in Isaiah 6, Jacob, if you want to go there. His train filled the temple. Now, who was King Uzziah? King Uzziah, he was a good king. Not only a good king, but a successful king. A king who did what was right in the eyes of God. He served the tribe of Judah for 52 long years. During his time, Judah became prosperous. Apparently, Isaiah looked up to him with awe and respect. He had his eye on him because of his great accomplishments. But here's what happened, and I think this is where the church is. He became conceited and proud. He overemphasized his power. He thought he could do everything he wanted to. He assumed that he could be a king and a priest at the same time by burning incense in the temple, which was the job of the priest and not the job of the king. Amen. And God was displeased with what he did, and because of that, King Uzziah defiled the temple of God. God struck him with leprosy, and then he died. So you got to understand what the word is saying here, Ernie. What Isaiah was saying is in the year that King Uzziah died, that's the year that's symbolic of the year that pride and arrogance died. And Isaiah, after that died, Isaiah said, I went to the temple again and I was able to see the Lord, and he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. See, it's time for us to get back to the place where it's all about Jesus and it's all about who he is. It's not about anything that we can do within ourselves, but it's all about who he is and what he came to do. Are you with me? Amen. Amen. Somebody say the pride's got to go. And we got to realize that it's through him. We can't take him out of the picture. Again, we want to change the culture. We want to change things in our community and have a kingdom mentality. But we often forget about including the king. Amen. Amen. If you're with me, say amen. Jesus is the only way to get to the presence. Amen? How many believes that? Jesus is the only way to get to the presence. How many remembers when they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant back? The Philistines had captured it, and they're bringing it back. How many remembers what happened? And they put it on a new cart. Amen? They put it on a new cart, and the oxen stumbled, and it shook the cart. How many remembers what happened? A guy by the name of Uriah. He took his hand out and he touched the ark to stop it. And what happened to him? He fell dead. Uzzah. Thank you, Wanda. Uzzah. I knew it started with a U. But he fell, Uzzah fell dead. And so they stopped and they took the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, symbolic of the presence of God, and left it in the house of Obed-Edom. And it stayed there for a while. And while the presence of the Lord was at the Ark of the Covenant, one and the same, was at the presence of Obed-Edom's house, he was blessed. I said he was blessed and he prospered. Amen. So David decides it's time to go get it and bring it back to the camp of Israel. Amen. So now what David does when they're bringing it back to the camp of Israel, the scripture says, and I think verse 13 of 2 Samuel 6, the scripture says that when they had gone six paces, they offered up sacrifices. They would go six paces and offer up sacrifices. Do you understand what that is? Every time they would go six paces and they would kill an animal, amen, and the blood of that animal would pour down. What are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is that was a picture of Jesus, the sacrifice, the blood that was shed for us. So what we're saying is the only way that you're going to get the presence of God back to your home, the only way you're going to get the presence of God to be in our church, the only way we're going to get the presence of God to be in our community and for the culture to change is for Jesus to be at the forefront. Again, see, it was a picture. We're going to get this thing back. And the Bible says that when it came back into the camp, that David danced before the Lord with all his might because the presence of the Lord was back into the camp. And the blessing of God and the prosperity of God was going to be on the camp. Once again, what are you saying, Pastor? You want the blessing of God. How many's tired of or just fighting the same things over and over and over, and you're tired of that? You want the blessing of God back. You start to seek his face. Seek you first, him, the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. He said, but my kingdom, James, is within you. They were looking for a king to come and to sit upon the throne of David and to do cultural things and to do these kinds of things. But he said, oh, this is a spiritual kingdom. This is going to change what's around you. It's going to change what your children do. It's going to change. Oh, glory. I don't know if you're getting this or not. It's going to change what your children watch on TV. It's going to change what's on the internet in your home. It's going to change what happens around you. It's going to change your bank account. It's going to change your health. It's going to change everything. Oh, are you seeing this? When he is the forefront, there is no kingdom without a king. Amen. I'm going to say it one more time. There is no kingdom without a king. And it's so fitting, Greg, that when John saw that revelation, he had the revelation. He saw what he saw on the Isle of Patmos. He said his eyes were flaming with fire. He said his hair was like wool. And he said he had written. Who remembers what he had written? It written on his side, Dale. King of kings and Lord of lords. You know, he's greater than anyone that's ever declared himself to be king or anybody that's ever been made king in this world. He is greater. But I want to ask you something. Is he the king of your heart? Is he king upon your heart? We can talk about kingdom principles all we want. And again, and I'm for it, man. This is where we should be functioning. This is where we should be living. I'm 110% for it. We can talk about it all we want. We can read all the books on it. But until he becomes the king upon our hearts, we're not going to operate in kingdom principles. We're not going to operate in dominion. Amen. There can make no mistake. You know, a lot of people are trying to get rid of Jesus. Are you with me? Do you believe that? A lot of people are trying to get rid of Jesus. But there can be no kingdom without Jesus. Amen? It's not going to happen. And a lot of people are compromising. Because, again, they don't want to offend others. I'm sorry. You know, we have some people rise up like Elijah and just say, well, let's just settle it. You know, why are we discussing this thing? If Muhammad be God, let's worship Muhammad. Allah. Muhammad's the prophet. If Allah be God, let's worship Allah. If Jehovah be God, let's worship Jehovah. Let's just settle it right. Have at it. You go first. You know, he wasn't threatened by, you know, and don't you see the truth in it, folks? That so many people are threatened by Jesus. I'm not threatened by Allah. I'm not threatened by Muhammad. It don't bother me a bit. I mean, I wish they wouldn't proclaim that. I wish they weren't bound up in that. But when they, you know, they can proclaim that all they want, it don't bother me. Because I know it's a false God. When you start talking, you know, you can, and I promise you, you can go all through the schools and throughout the United States, and chances are you can talk about any other religion, any other God, any other thing, and nobody will ever say a word. But the moment you start talking about Jesus, all of a sudden somebody gets messed up because he's a threat to their sin. He's a threat to what they're doing. He's a threat to what's happening in their life. They're convicted by that. And all of a sudden the demons of hell say, no. You can talk about all these other things, but don't mention that man Jesus, because he's the one that has the power. He's the one that defeated us. He's the one that hung on the cross of Calvary. He's the one that's coming back in power. I'm telling you, his name is Jesus, and he is the king. And the king's going to set up his kingdom. Amen. And he's going to reign and rule forever from the throne. Amen. Can you worship him? Can you lift him up? Oh, come on. Somebody needs to lift him up in this place. We're talking about the one that was born king of the Jews. He was born king. He's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I said he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and he was born the king. Born king of the Jews.